Welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Poker Pro podcast series, a poker how-to featuring the greatest and most accomplished poker players in the industry. Our poker podcast topic today is blackjack, where you will learn how to play like the pros. My name is Annie Jennings, host of the Poker Pro podcast series, and our blackjack expert today is John Bukowski, author of the brand new book, Blackjack, Play Like the Pros. This is one of in our series of sessions with John. I encourage everyone to check out our series called the Annie Jennings PR Poker Pro podcast series. And I'd like to speak to Jack about something very in particular today, and this is, John, you believe that blackjack is beatable. Now, why is this true, and how does this fact really matter to us that we are able to beat blackjack, and how is that beatability aspect related to card counting? And I know I called you Jack because you play blackjack. Is your middle name Jack, John?
No, but
it should be.
It's a good nickname considering how much I play the game. So.
I think we should change your name to Jack.
Jack Black, how about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. No. Jack Bukowski. All right, keep that in mind for your next book. You guys, you've heard it here first. We're changing John to Jack. But meanwhile, John, you do believe that blackjack is beatable. Is that true?
Very much so, and it's all about learning to keep track of the cards. Basic strategy, again, takes that casino advantage down to about 0.5%, and card counting is the tool that takes that 0.5% and erases it and gives the player, on average, about 1.5% advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
amazing.
That's basically what occurs when one learns to keep track of the cards.
That's terrific. Now, earlier in an earlier podcast, we did speak about that some casinos use different amounts of decks, right? When they're playing the game. Now, how does this affect the card counting abilities and affect the play of the actual blackjack players?
Yes, the number of decks has a big effect, not for the normal basic strategy only player, but for the card counter who actually does calculations to determine the advantage or disadvantage in the remaining cards. Obviously, the number of decks plays a role in that. You know, in that deciphering of what type of advantage exists. At single and double deck games, commonly found in places like Las Vegas, there isn't as many high a positive and low negative counts, so things fluctuate advantage and disadvantage wise pretty rapidly. Multiple deck games can stay advantageous or disadvantageous for longer periods simply because there are so many more decks in use.
All right, well, that's terrific, and I appreciate you giving us some insight on the whole card counting concept. Now, I would really like to know if you'd be willing to go over some basic strategy for beating blackjack, some basic strategy that an average person can use to not only keep track of the cards, but what can give them that winning edge, or is it just for the pros? Can only the pros win at this game, or is this a game that the average everyday poker blackjack lover can actually excel and be very successful, including winning some prize money?
I think if you have perseverance and you can multitask, you can beat blackjack, and a lot of people can do both of those things. It's really all about, like anything in life, it's how bad you really want it.
That's right.
If you really want to beat them, you know, you sit down and learn the methodology, and you can beat them. That starts with what's called basic strategy, which is the best possible way to play each hand, and that's figured by computer simulation or combinatorial analysis, and that's sort of, as I mentioned in earlier podcasts, that's sort of the foundation that every player that ultimately wants to win at blackjack must learn what's called basic strategy.
Now, John, would you like to go over, I know this is covered in Chapter 4 in your book, which is Blackjack, Play Like the Pros. You certainly do a lot of great explanation in this chapter on basic strategy. Now, would you like to talk, like here you have splitting nines or single decks, doubling involving 4-4 and 5-3. Now, players who play all the time might automatically know what I'm talking about, that like hitting soft 17s and soft 18s. Do you think you could give us some examples that early stage developers, maybe hand descriptions that early stage developing players would most likely be identified with or be faced with at the blackjack table. Some sort of beginner, you know, I'm starting out, I really want to do well at blackjack. Some typical situations that they may face, and let's give them a strategy or two for them to remember the next time they do get a pair of jacks or whatever you want to talk about today.
Yeah, no, I understand exactly what you mean. There's a few basic tenets, I guess you'd call them, of the game, and more specifically a basic strategy. I mean, these are real simple rules, like with obviously a hard 17 or more to stand. With, you know, if your total is 12 through 16 and the dealer shows a 7 through ace up, of course you want to hit with a 12 against the dealer's 2 or 3. You stand against the dealer's with a 12 rather, you would hit against the dealer's 2 or 3 and stand against the dealer's 4, 5, and 6. With 13 through 16, you're standing against the dealer's 2 through 6 up card. In the way of splitting pairs, you're always splitting aces and eights. That's kind of a combination one usually uses to remember. You never split fives and tens. A good player will double down on 11 almost always, on 10 a little less than almost always, and on 9 even less than on 10. Basic strategy, though, it's a method that basically addresses every situation. So you really have to consult a chart, and the charts in my book in Chapter 4 outline the correct basic strategy moves for essentially two types of games: multiple deck games and single deck games.
Right.
And that's where you might have some variances between basic strategy for the single deck versus for the multiple deck.
You know, I love what you're talking about. To really just, in fact, at one point you mentioned that it's important that every player actually just memorize these basic strategies at first. That the foundation for every good player is simply memorize the basic strategies. With a hard 17 or more, stand, right?
That's exactly right. And, mm-hmm. and it may seem intimidating at first to some people to look at a table with 150 or so entries, but you want to know something. I mentioned this in the book. There's ways to look at a table and generalize the data. It's a form of mnemonic. Is that correct? I'm not really sure.
Sure, of course.
But it's a form of looking at a data in a table and sort of summarizing it in sentence form, whereupon to recall that data will be, you know, very easy to do. It's not that you actually have to remember 150 combinations independently. You're grouping combinations. In other words, you know, when you have two nines, you split them on everything but ace, 10, and 7. You're not actually memorizing, you know, 9-9 against the 2, 9-9 against the dealer's 3, 9-9 against the dealer's 4. You're actually grouping that, so mm-hmm. it's a lot easier than it first looks.
And it really helps, though, after a while, to start to understand why these basic rules and strategies are in place. So I really like that. I know in my own play, you know, the more I develop upon an understanding of how these rules have developed and how they really influence the game, of course, the stronger player that I can be. But initially, it's good to just know that certain things are true. Let's accept them as true. We never want to split fives and tens. We always want to split aces and eights and just go with them for a while until we really develop the feel for the game, which I'm going to ask you a couple questions on these rules. How about that? I want to know, why should you never split fives and tens?
Splitting fives and tens is, think about this, 2-5 gives you a total of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 is such a strong total on which to draw another card on that to split the 2-5s into two hands of starting with a total of 5 is
bad.
Yeah, really bad. So that's kind of a real basic. And splitting 10s is, again, you have a 20 already.
Already, so why risk? Right?
You're in good shape, so you don't want to really split 10s. There is an instance though, that splitting tens actually becomes a good move, but that's way down the line in the card counting.
Very probably advanced playing, yes, exactly. You know, I noticed here, and you've got a wonderful strategy section here in your book, Blackjack Play Like the Pros. You talk about, we're just talking about why you would never want to split a 5-5. What about doubling on 5-5? You mentioned that here is a possibility.
Not only is that a great, it's a great move. You'd never want to split them, but you'd actually double on the total of 10, in this case, by having two fives. Because, again, 10's a great total to draw another card on. So to put out another bet equal to your original and have a foundation of 10 in which to draw on. Think about how many picture cards there are in a standard deck. And a lot of times you'll end up with 20. So it's a golden opportunity, that doubling on 10.
Well, that's wonderful to know, and we'll briefly go over some splitting aces and eights. How do you feel about that?
Aces and eights, another great opportunity to get a great hand. Splitting aces is, you know, is a total of an 11 if you want it to be, which of course applies after a split. So again, any 10 value card will give you 21, and that's, you know, that's bingo in so many words. Splitting eights, not only are you able to split the hand and put out an additional amount equal to your first, but you're getting rid of that awful total of 16. And then a lot of times 1-8 will maybe draw a 10, but then a second 8 might draw a small card, and then another draw might get you really up there near 21. So not only are you improving your hand, but you're getting rid of that original 16, which is an awful total.
Well, that's wonderful, and I would like to revisit, of course, splitting all the pairs when we get into our more in-depth strategy, but for now, I certainly want to thank John Bukowski, author of Blackjack Play Like the Pros, for being here today with the Annie Jennings PR Poker Pro podcast series. John, we're going to have you back one more time in the near future, so everyone please look for our next podcast, where John is going to get into lots and lots of details of card counting. So be around for our next session, which is card counting with John Bukowski. And I don't keep calling you Jack.
That's okay.
You know, it's so funny. That's your name, Jack Black, Jack. Jack Black.
No, you can call me Jack. As long as it's related to blackjack, that's fine.
That's fine. Well, you know, do John and Jack kind of go together in the name world?
Yeah, I guess there's a Kennedy by either of those names, right?
John or Jack. Yeah, my father was John or Jack, so I know that it's kind of a, they're kind of a combined name, but I've got to remember, John, that just because you play blackjack doesn't mean your name is Jack. So for those of you who would like to get the book, we're talking to John Bukowski, Blackjack, Play Like the Pros. John, we're going to be hanging around waiting for our next podcast with you, and we'll be back soon. Thanks, all.